Well, it's good to be here tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. All right, Jeremiah chapter 18. We last time covered this little parable or little story about where Jeremiah went down to the potter's shop and he watched them making some pottery there, and he was watching the clay and the clay was marred. Remember that sermon we discussed quite in detail there about the quality of the clay. That the quality of the clay is a key to what the Lord can do with it. We brought up the fact that a clay that is obedient, God blesses that. God has a plan of blessing, but if the clay is obedient and submissive, then God can fulfill that plan. However, if the clay is kind of rebellious, stubborn, resistant, the clay that rebels against God, then the Lord has another plan for that, and that's a plan of judgment. We spent some time on that last message we spoke on a Sunday morning a few weeks ago. Now, the application begins in verse 11, where the Lord is now going to tell the prophet, well, you went and watched the potter with his clay and on the wheel, and I gave you some things about the people there, and if the nation will repent or if they don't repent. But now in verse 11, he tells him to go and speak to the people and give them a message about their relationship with what God wants them to do. Are they going to rebel or are they going to be submissive? Verse 11. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. Now think about that. The Lord is designing evil against them. That's a scary place to be. Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Here's the plan God is concocting now. It involves judgment. But if you still, as the clay, will still repent and still turn to the Lord, then I can still do that other plan, is what the Lord is telling them. Verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices. We will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they've burned incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate, and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Title of the message here in just these few six or seven verses is the apostate way. The apostate way. Verses 11 through 17. And I want us to look tonight that Israel or Judah here made a choice, a very clear choice, to rebel against the Lord. They had two options before them, the way of God's plan of blessing, which required obedience, or the way of God's plan of judgment, which you would have to rebel, you would have to reject God to go there, and that's what they were choosing. So this nation is choosing, in verse 11 and 12, to be a rebellious clay. They're now an apostate nation, which simply means they were going back away from what God had originally intended for them and what they had established in the covenant with Jehovah. They are moving away from that and becoming an apostate nation. I know that the word apostasy can be used and be thrown around like it means a lot of things, and some people believe you're an apostate if you disagree with them on some minor issue. That's not at all what apostasy has. Nothing to do with what people believe. It has everything to do with what God says. It's an apostasy from God, not from man. Let's clear that first. And these people here, this nation, was apostatizing from the truth, from God. Here's what God had for the covenant. Here's what God had for them. And they said, no, thank you, Lord. We have a better way devised. We're going to go in that direction. And so tonight I want to give you, in the few minutes we have here, just five characteristics of their apostasy from these verses. Again, the apostate way. Five indicators of the apostate way. Number one, in verses 11 and 12, the first characteristic is deep stubbornness. Deep stubbornness. Do you see that in verses 11 and 12? That God made a call for them. He said, I am planning right now to judge you and destroy you. But if you will simply turn and repent and go the opposite of what you're doing and begin to accept me and begin to obey me and get rid of this idolatry, then I will bless you. This is God's, almost as if it's his final call to these people. But in their apostasy, number one, there is deep stubbornness, verse number 12. And they said, there is no hope. We will walk after our own devices. And God is telling them, instead of putting effort into evil, let's put effort into good. Instead of going the way of idolatry, let's go the way of Jehovah. But this in the Hebrew there, that there is no hope, is maybe a little hard to understand. It has the idea of the whatever attitude. We've talked about that before. The whatever attitude, the apathy, the I don't care what God says attitude. We're choosing our own path and we don't really care what God says. Even in the Hebrew here, without going into detail, there's some connotation in these words of we're going to go against the counsel and against the advice that we've been given by God, and we're going to do our own thing anyway. It's simply so stubborn that it may be clearly spelled out what you should do, and you do the exact opposite of what you should do. It's sometimes in school, I teach a middle school class, and I haven't taught a middle school class in a long time, and I really enjoy it, except for poor Jared. He's in the class, so I get to harass him mercilessly and embarrass him to death, which is what good dads do. But I enjoy teaching them, and I have specific ways I like things done. And some of you can tell me. I like my papers. I'm weird, I know. I like my 8.5 by 11 paper. When they turn it in, they got to fold it this way. They have to fold it this way, and the holes have to be on this side of the paper. And the side that the holes are on, what has to happen, Jared? Your name and the date. And then I get, you know, this. And then the name on the other side, and I'm just, the blood, you know, there is rising in my forehead. I don't have a lot of pet peeves, at least I don't say I don't, but I do actually have a lot of pet peeves. But, you know, I said, nope, I don't know how many times I've given his paper back. You know what to do. Fix this. Not going to accept it that way. Oh, yes, sir. I have certain ways that I tell them, I want it done this way. And I don't remember, well, we've done it this way for 3 months. You remember what to do. You know, it's kind of, here's the clear path. Here's what you need. I mean, by the way, there's nothing spiritual about folding your paper. It just gives them something picky that I'm picky about and makes them conform to it. Oh, well. And plus, when I hand the papers back, they're already folded, so nobody sees their grade. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry, whoever's bulletin this was. I'm just going to hide that down there real quick. Anyway, I have a certain way I want it done, and you describe it to them, and you give the expectations, then you want it to be followed. You want it to be followed. And it's that simple. It would be, you know what? I'm going to fold my paper this way because I know Mr. Watt doesn't like it, and I don't care. That's Israel in a nutshell. I know that the Lord said we've got to worship Him and Him only and bow down to Him only, but you know what? Whatever, God. That's the first sign of apostasy, the whatever attitude. Because that leads to what we have here, very deep stubbornness. I am going to refuse to turn, even though God is saying, hey, here is a huge path of blessing. I mean, what people want to say, you know what, I can't wait for my city, Jerusalem, to be completely destroyed and burned down to the ground and for the enemy to come in and just kill everybody. Well, that's going to be awesome. None of the people thought that. And who in their right mind would want that? And so the Lord is saying, this is going to happen to you, but if you do this, look at this huge path of blessing I have for you. Whatever, God. Verse 12, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not going to matter no matter what we do. We're going to do what we want to do. So verse 12, we will walk after our own devices. We're going to choose our own path. We will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. We don't like the master potter's plan. So we're going to do what we want to do. You know, the imagination there, I know it's, when we think of imagination, we think of thinking and, you know, when doing what we did as boys or perhaps in the elementary school. And one thing about our school that I've kind of liked is that there's no windows in the classrooms. Y'all notice that? That's a good thing. When I was a boy, there were windows in the classroom in my school. And what do you think happened all the time? Daydreaming. I wish I was outside playing basketball. Imagination of the mind. Well, that's not kind of what this word means in the Hebrew. It's not a thinking process. It's more of the idea of a hard heart. In other words, it should better translate it this way. We'll do everyone the stubbornness of our hard and evil heart. That we've resisted God and we're going to do what we want to do anyway. Number one step to apostasy. First characteristic, deep stubbornness. God laid it out so clearly for them. And yet they said, no thank you. Whatever, God. We're doing this. We're going to stick it to you, God. That's an apostate. Number two, let's go to verse 13. Not only is there deep stubbornness, number one, but number two, there is unparalleled disloyalty. Unparalleled disloyalty. You know, we all like loyal people, don't we? We like people that will, you know, stay with you and do and help you out because they're your friend. We like loyal people. Nobody likes disloyalty. Well, think about it from the standpoint of Israel. What had God, Jehovah, done in the history of Israel to upset those people? Nothing. He had actually done everything that you can imagine for them. Starting back with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, delivering them from Egypt. You go all through the history of the kings and the promised land and the heights of the days of Solomon. The Lord had done everything for these people. God had been loyal to them for generations, even though they were bowing down to idols and worshiping the golden calf. The Lord had every right to wash his hands of them right there. But the Lord was loyal to his people. Why? Because he made a covenant with them. And God sticks to his covenant. But man didn't. And Judah went and did their own things. There's no loyalty here. Look at verse 13. And well, I'll show you how we get the loyalty out of this verse. Ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. In other words, this is unparalleled what Judah did. The heathen doesn't even do, at least the heathen is dedicated to their God. At least the Islamics are dedicated to Allah. I mean, you have to give them that. They'll die for him, basically. You know, I mean, that's what they're saying. The heathen are even better than what Judah's doing. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. The virgin should have remained pure, should have waited for her husband, but didn't. That's the picture there. That you're awaiting marriage, but that you ran off with another guy, and then still think you can come back and marry this guy. That's the picture. Here's, well, Jehovah, we're going to be your bride, but hang on a minute. We're going to go over here with the idols and the other religions and, you know, just have some fun with them, and then we'll come back to Jehovah. Yeah, we'll go back to the temple, and then we're going to go back over here to Ashtaroth, and then we're going to jump back to Jehovah again. Let's go back over to Baal, and there's no loyalty. And it's not even what, it's worse than what the heathen do. That again is a sign of apostasy. Deep stubbornness. Unparalleled disloyalty. Number three, verse 14. That apostasy of what Judah was doing is completely unnatural. It is completely unnatural. We have deeply stubborn, unparalleled disloyalty, completely unnatural, verse 14. And he uses in verse 14 a picture, or two or three pictures from nature. Because God's creation is a creation of order. God's creation is a creation of laws. And it has principles. And it operates under those. Judah was completely erratic. Unnormal. Look at the things, it's kind of hard to pick up in the English. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon? Coming from the rock of the field, shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? The idea there is, first of all, the rocks don't leave the field. It's hard to see in the English there, which cometh from the rock of the field. A rock that's in the field is going to be in that field. If there's a certain type of geology in a certain area of the world, it's there. And, you know, geologists have studied all those things. The rock's not going to just get up and move to another place or things like that. It's common. It's consistent there. The snow of Lebanon. The mountains there, and the snow is going to be consistently there certain times of the year. You can count on it. It's going to happen. The seasons are going to change, for example. The sun is going to rise. God's laws work constantly, naturally. They're constant. The other one here is mentioned, the cold flowing waters that come from another place. Are they going to be forsaken? In other words, if you know there's a spring of water, you can go to that spring. You can get up early in the morning in the old days and pick up your bucket and go up to that spring that's gushing from the ground, and you can know that water is going to be there because it comes from some spring that God put way down in the ground. You can know it's going to be there. It's constant. But the apostate people are unnatural. They're inconsistent. They go against the laws of God. You know, God's universe, again, in creation, they run on the laws of physics and in science and the things that man has been able to discover that God has in place. God's creation is consistently normal. It's orderly. But what Israel's doing is erratic. It makes no sense. Number four, verses 15 and 16. Not only is there deep stubbornness and unparalleled disloyalty and completely unnatural, but number four, their apostasy was characterized by strong rebellion. Strong rebellion in verses 15 and 16. They have done what is not natural, and they've stumbled in the path. Look at verse 15. My people have forgotten me. Now, how in the world is it possible to forget Jehovah? Think of, again, all the things the Lord has done for them for all these years, and yet they just forgot Him. That's not normal. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Literally, that means they left the way of wisdom. That word ancient path there in the Hebrew is the idea of the way of wisdom. That's God's way. That's God's way. And we take God's way, which has been in existence for eternity. It's ancient. It's the way of wisdom. And we begin to do our own way. The idea is we take God's way, we leave that path for a by path. Notice it says to walk in paths in a way not cast up. They went into instead of the perpetual path that's always there, that God is always constant, God's eternal, His ways have always been. I leave God's way and I go on a by path in a way that has, it says, not cast up. It has not been made. It's as if you're walking through the mountains in a little footpath or something, and there's dense forest all around you, and you just decide, you know what, I'm just going to go off into the dense forest. Well, you're going to try to forge your own way through that forest, and you're probably not going to be very successful. When I think of that, I think of, well, here's the road, there's the woods, and in the woods there's snakes, so I'm staying on the road. That's the way my mind works. I'm glad that Mr. Whitney and them cleared up some, I guess they're making room for a bigger soccer field or something, so they cleared out a bunch of trees, and I tell you what, I've seen a couple snakes come out of there before. So I was thankful they destroyed their habitat a little bit. I don't like the snakes. Anyway, you're going to say, I'm getting off the path of God. I'm going to forge my own path. Boy, is that not the rebel's way? Isn't that the rebel's way? Well, I see exactly how to get there, and it makes so much sense. There's even signs that tell me, keep going this way for a kilometer or two, and I'll be right there at the destination. But you know what? I know a shortcut. Sounds like some of us men when we're driving. I know a shortcut. I'm going to go off into the non-beaten path. Nobody's walked on it before. But you know what? I'm going to forge my own way. I've got this. I've got a machete here, and I'm just going to sit here and work and work and work, and I'm going to get all the way through it, and I'm going to make my own way. I don't like God's way. That is the deep stubbornness of apostasy. You know, this goes back to chapter 6, verse 16. Listen to this verse. You know what it says. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. God's way already exists. I wish we could just pound that into the head of every student at Santa Rosa Christian School. God's way is already there. All you got to do is walk in it. But we got to be progressive, our world today. Liberal, progressive. We got to have the cutting edge and the new. And so we've got to make our own path. It doesn't make any sense unless you make it yourself. That's the mantra of our liberal culture. God's way is right there. Just stand in the way and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. What does the end of that verse say? You'll find rest for your soul. Boy, what a great life. Resting in the Lord, walking in His path. But what does the apostate rebel say? It's at the end of chapter 6, verse 16, too. It says, but they said, we will not walk therein. That's the apostate rebel. Here's the path, but you know what? I'm going to go through the forest. It's a lot of stickers and thick, dense underbrush and a lot of snakes and things that can kill me. But you know what? I'm just going to go through it anyway because I'm a man. And I'm cutting-edge, progressive, front of the culture here. That's what our world tries to convince people to be. It hasn't been cleared. It hasn't been cast up. In other words, it hasn't been cleared and heaped up. You know, like when Isaac does land clearing, I'm sure you have big old massive piles of logs, and if you want to see him, just go to his old house. Trees and brush and chipper stuff, and you clear it and you heap it up out of the way. That's the idea there. It's a way that's not cast up. Nothing's been cleared and thrown it to the side so you can get through. But God's already done it. You hear me, young people, tonight? God's already made the path. Walk in it. Walk in it. You don't need to go to a way not cast up. That's what the apostate does. They don't like God's path. They're going to go to another path. That's the way of Judah. That's the way of the apostate. Notice what happens to that way. Verse 16. What does God do? You go that way, and He's going to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. And boy, this is something. Everyone that passes by will be astonished and wag his head. Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but it's almost like, well, we told you so. Cannot believe they went that way after what they knew. But that's the way of the apostate. That's the way of the rebel. All my friends, well, some of my friends told me not to. My teachers told me no, I shouldn't go that way. My principals told me I shouldn't. My pastor said it. My parents said it. But you know what? I had a few friends that said we can do this, and so I'm going for it. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And sadly, mom and dad are back home wagging their head in grief because you went to the way not cast up. You made your own path, and your life is desolate. That's verse 16. She passes thereby. She's astonished. How in the world can you have the Word of God in your life and then go the other way? It's an astonishment. It's shocking. It's illogical. That's the rebel apostate. Has never wanted the things of God to begin with. Played the game, like our pastor talked about this morning. Played the game. Verse 17. Last point. My time's gone. Last point, number 5. We've talked about the deep stubbornness. Number 2, the unparalleled disloyalty. Number 3, the completely unnatural nature of it. Number 4, the strong rebellion. Now number 5, the unmatched judgment. There is a judgment coming for the apostate. There's a judgment coming for the rebel. They knew to do good and did it not. They know what's right. They know the path of righteousness. They know God's ancient path. It's been there since the beginning of time because God made the path. We didn't, by the way. And our little religion and churches and our little denominations, we didn't make anything. God made it. And an apostate says, I don't like God's path. And there's coming unmatched judgment, verse 17. I'm going to scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. I'm going to let the enemy come in. And notice, boy, you want to talk about scary? What does man always do when the trouble comes? Well, let's all get together and have a congressional prayer today. We're going to call a national day of prayer from Washington, D.C. By the way, we hate prayer any other time. And don't pray in the school. But we had a calamity happen. A big hurricane came through, and we got to all get together and pray. The enemy came in, Judah, and what did they start doing? Oh, Jehovah, help us! And what did God say? Verse 17. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. I'm not going to hear. I'm not going to be there to help the apostate and the rebel. Time after time after time of pleading with them, of mercy to them. But now he doesn't hear the cry. You know, time, we play this game. We play the game. Well, one day I'll get serious with God. One day. I've heard young people say that. One day I'll you know, get right with God. And you don't have one day. Because that day might come and God's back is already turned. That's the heart of Judah. Whatever, God. And now his back is to them because he knows they don't mean it. I pray that we would follow on in the paths that God's given us. He's laid them out so clearly, right in front of us, like a GPS telling us where to go. Sometimes that still messes us up. GPS telling us where to go. You know what? It looks like I have a better way to go. I'm going to go that way. There's not even a road there, but I'm going to make one. I've got a four-wheel drive. I'm going to borrow Johnny's truck. I'm going to make a road real quick. Of course, it's a Chevy. It'll probably break pretty fast, but that's the way, it's the mentality of young people today. And I fear it's the mentality of young people in Christian ministries. That we have a way that's better than God's way, and we don't. We're going down the apostate way, and we don't know it. And sadly, years down the road, we're going to wag our head in astonishment. How in the world could someone under the preaching of God's Word and under the Christian school and under good godly parents end up there? And then God's back to them. Frightening. Let's walk in God's ways while we know they're there. It's that simple. We know the truth. Let's walk in it. Father, thank You for this time around Your Word and for the prophet Jeremiah. So many valuable lessons we can learn from this. Father, I pray for all of us, young and old, that Lord, our burden would be to consistently walk in the ways of Jehovah, of our God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to walk in the ways of the Word that You've given us. Father, help us not to be deterred, to be diverted, to see a different way, but Lord, to simply know You've made it easy for us. There's the pathway. All we have to do is walk it. So Lord, help us to get rid of our pride, our stubbornness, and to fall humbly at Your feet and beg for Your grace and mercy in our lives each day. Lord, I pray for our young people that they would continue in the ways of God, that they would not be sidetracked to paths that are hard to forge. Lord, there's destruction waiting at the end. I ask You to work in our hearts, Father, this very night. Thank You in Christ's name. Amen.